Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's same as Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly. Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
Jim, Matt, and Molly continues live from the Everlight Solar Studio. I'm Jim Rutledge. He is Alex G. Christy Birdsall with me as well, and primetime Wollersheim. We are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde. And Jason, during the break, I just learned the artist was a Sexy Red.
Sexy Red.
I said reminds me of Lil' Kim back in the day. Jason, you're the only person who has any shot age-wise to have ever heard of Lil' Kim. Have you ever heard of Lil' Kim?
I have heard of Lil' Kim. I have not heard of, what is it, Red Fox?
Yep, yep, yep.
Wasn't he on Sanford and Son?
Yep. It is Red Panda, and you can see her at the Madison Zoo. No. it's my kid's favorite exhibit, the Red Panda at the Madison
Zoo. I'm a capybara guy.
A what?
Capybara?
Isn't Red Panda the woman that rides a unicycle?
Is that her too? Chrissy's nodding yes. So yeah, there's also an actual Red Panda at the Madison Zoo.
Yeah, I saw that. Very cute. Yes.
So we'll start with the poll question that Evan Cohen put on our show, and we're just claiming it was plagiarized from our show for all the other shows. He did call a shot because he said, "Ask this question, and every show will run with it." And I know that you made an appearance on your own show today, but. I wanted to get your thoughts on our show about the question of which member of the Big Three is best at their job, Goody, LaFleur, or Jordan Love. I said it was Goody. Alex G, anti-Goody on this, and nobody thinks it's Jordan Love. But what was your answer out of those three, who's best at their job?
Well, I did not join my program, which Paul always loves it when I do that, theoretical days off.
I thought you did. Ryan said that the show calmed down when Jason showed. Oh, okay.
I did. I just didn't join when that question was
Gotcha. Because I was like, I was getting bad information.
This is my first at-bat with that question. So
okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you know, I am not the Goody fan, apologist, cheerleader that my cohort is. I don't hate him. I didn't love it when he lied to me, and I still think he was wrong about Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams, but he and I get along great. We got a lot of history together. We got a good working relationship. I'm not drinking beer out of his garage beer fridge, and he's not drinking bubblers out of mine. But I would say that he's, if you make me choose between the three, he's the one I'm picking.
Huh.
Now, that doesn't mean that there's not room for improvement, especially with his first-round track record. At least the third-round track record seems to have improved, although I don't know about the jury. Is obviously very much still out on Tyron Hopper, but I think Tucker Kraft has changed the mathematics there. So, you know, look, I think Matt LaFleur is probably second, and if he can figure out how to marry the Josh Jacobs style of running game with a play-action pass game and something that'll help the quarterback be more productive in that and scheme guys wide open like there used to be in this offense, then I think he's got a chance to overtake the GM in this poll. But for right now, even if G doesn't like it, the correct answer is the GM.
Agreed.
Listen, I do hear it. I don't think that it's a runaway. There's a lot of things that made me feel like there are things to improve on that you've mentioned, whether it's the first round draft picks, whether it's the signing his guys to these monster deals that feel completely unearned.
But all these guys have blemishes. His are just the least.
I hear that.
Yeah, I will say this. I'll say this, and Alex, you make a good point, because I do think, in fairness, you know, and Kenny Clark was drafted by Ted Thompson, but, you know, he gave Kenny Clark the new contract in training camp. He could have just he didn't have to do that, right? He gave the huge deal in October of 23 to Rashawn Gary. That has not been a good investment. And again, Jair, you know, when you miss 10 games each of the last two seasons and you're on your way out the door after a four-year, $84 million extension, no, that those are all blemishes on his record. There's no doubt about that. So those are all fair criticisms, as is the fact that, you know, Eric Stokes has not been a very good first-round pick so far. Lucas Van Ness has not been a very good first-round pick. So Darnell Savage was not a good first-round pick. And then he got the fifth-year option on top of it. So those are all things that are very fair. I just think when you comp him to LaFleur, who I didn't think he had a great year. This was not his best year as a coach. I think Matt LaFleur would agree with that. And I think Jordan Love, if you want to say he regressed, if you want to say he didn't progress nearly enough, if you want to say he flatlined, however you want to look at it, you know, you were hoping for him to make a huge leap forward, and that did not happen. So I think, in fairness to you, Alex, I think I'm picking out. I'm picking Goody almost by default.
And out of the three. Agreed. That's fair. My one last gripe, and I just want to hear your thoughts on this. If Jordan Love is the marquee number one thing that Brian Gutekunst has done and probably will do as the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, and he's clearly not in the conversation for these three people, then how can he possibly be number one?
Yeah, and number one with a $55 million a year contract.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I think we all, myself included, although not to the same degree as many others, saw what he did in the final eight regular season games and in the playoff game against Dallas. And some people crowned him. I would say that I was maybe guilty of overestimating him. Also, it was not popular to try and pump the brakes, whether it be on air or on social media, on, hey, maybe we're getting a little ahead of ourselves on just how good this guy is. I kept using the, there were times when Bears fans were really excited about Mitch Trubisky. he's obviously far better than him.
Mm-hmm.
But because he didn't make the leap that you were expecting or that the Packers were expecting, or let's be honest, Jordan was expecting, I think it's a fair critique to say that this is a pivotal offseason and third year as a starter. Is he going to catapult himself into the top five, top six conversation of quarterbacks? Is he going to be kind of a 6-12 guy? Like, what is he going to be? Because, you know, and I don't think of it in terms of the contract, because I just think that's the cost of doing business now with that position. Like, Trevor Lawrence doesn't deserve that much money either. Tua doesn't deserve that much money either. We saw Jared Goff when the money was on the table. He didn't deserve it either, right? I think it's just what everybody's getting paid, and I can't wait to see what Brock Purdy gets. So I don't look at it from that perspective. I look at it from, we were looking at this guy and really talking about, you know, Tausch saying he's going to be in the top three of the MVP balloting in 2024. You know, that did not come anywhere close to happening. And I think next year he has to be talked about in that breath, or then you really start to wonder just how good is he. And he will have the opportunity to prove himself to be very good, pretty good, decent, or not good enough. And if he ends up being not good enough, that's when you start to think, now what? Because you've paid him, the expectations are there. This is such a pivotal year for him.
I agree, and I'm curious. I'm betting on, just with his age and time in this offense and the amount of starts he's had in college and in the pros, that he's going to get marginally better, and I don't know where that puts him. But we obviously have to wait and see. Maybe Sean Mannion can unlock something that Tom Clements couldn't. Speaking of assistants, Anthony Campanelli, obviously he's going to Duval. Side note, Jason, Liam Cohen, how the Bears dodged that disaster. Like, that screams Chicago Bears move. with the Duval and the whole thing and the negative Riz and aura that he has. How they dodged that bullet is beyond me, but I'm counting my lucky stars that they dodged it. Campanelli, what's the loss for the Packers? Obviously, when you got a guy being pulled in to be a defensive coordinator, he's highly thought of.
Yeah, and you know, he was in the conversation in San Francisco before Saleh didn't get a head coaching job and wound up back there. He was in the conversation for Penn State, which, you know, you might think, well, he's in the NFL now. But he spent 15 years in the college game before breaking into the NFL with the Dolphins in 2020. You know, he comes from coaching royalty in New Jersey. His dad is a legendary high school coach. He and his three brothers are all coaches at different levels. Look, I am a fan. I thought he was going to be one of those cartoon character guys because of what I saw on Hard Knocks when he was with the Dolphins. But he's got a lot more substance than that. And what I like about him is that he's not just a screamer who drops a bunch of F-bombs. Like, he understands that different players need different styles of coaching. And you treat everybody fairly and equally, but you don't treat them the exact same way. And I think that's what makes a good coach. He's really smart. I think that this is a significant loss. Now, that doesn't mean that Sean Duggan, who kind of served as the de facto assistant linebackers coach, is a guy that was with Halfley at Ohio State in 19, was with Halfley at BC for the 4 years Halfley was there, including 1 year as the co-defensive coordinator for the Eagles. That doesn't mean that he can't step in and continue to help Edgerrin Cooper to develop. But remember, Isaiah McDuffie and Eric Wilson are both free agents. So there could be some changes in terms of who plays in their rotation. And is Tyron Hopper going to be able to make a jump and be ready to be a part-time player for them? Are they going to bring back Wilson, or are they saying at age 30, we don't want guys of that age on our team anymore, we'll find somebody else who's cheaper? So that is a position in flux, and I think if you look at what Anthony Campanile did, you know, he got the best out of Quay Walker that anyone has, and he continued to bring Edgerrin Cooper along. We all saw his splash play ability, but what went down with Edgerrin Cooper as the season wore on were the knuckleheaded rookie mistakes. And I always bring this up because in the opener against Philly, he had a tackle for loss, and you were like, wow, right? This is the kid who barely played in training camp. This is impressive. And then a few plays later, he lines up and is completely the wrong spot. There, you can see on the tape, like, Xavier McKinney and other guys screaming at him that he's in the wrong location. The Eagles snap the ball, and Saquon Barkley runs right through where he's supposed to be on his way to a touchdown. Like, you saw fewer of those types of plays with Edgerrin Cooper, and to me, while that's a credit to Edgerrin Cooper, it's also a credit to his position coach, who got him to make fewer rookie mistakes. So not having him is a loss. It doesn't mean that they're going to forfeit their games or that Jeff Hafley's defense is going to tumble to the bottom of the rankings, but he was a valuable piece of their staff, and not having him does not make them better.
That was really good. I didn't know that about Hopper and in the early mistakes that he made, and I don't really remember a whole lot of what he did throughout the year in terms of really stepping up. Before you go, I do have one random question for you, Jason. Have you ever done a polar plunge?
Well, I don't know how to swim, first of all. I mean, I know how to kind of tread water. When the girls were little, I took swimming lessons from their teacher after they would get done at the YWCA.
Huh.
And so I kind of know how to float, but I am not a strong swimmer, and I don't like being cold. So I think the polar plunge question just answered itself.
Yeah, resounding no, huh?
So I want to follow up on this, because Alex G. Shared a story yesterday, Jason, that was troubling when Evan Cohen was on, because he basically...
Not troubling.
Can we have the... Ryan, I know you don't have things back there. Do you actually have the audio, the little drop of what he said?
I do not. I'll have to take a minute to get
that's
there.
Fine. That's fine. So basically...
He's got Duval, though.
He does. So he had it earlier. he had it earlier in the show, so I didn't know if he had it queued up in the hotkey. So Alex G, when we're talking to Evan Cohen, he out of the blue says, hey, do they still give out Oreos at dry cleaners? And I said, I've never heard of that, Jason. And so he followed up and said that in his small town of Plymouth, Wisconsin, the dry cleaner would give him a unwrapped Oreo
from a jar,
not that much better, in a toxic chemical-filled dry cleaner facility.
I didn't say that. His words.
That, you know, his mom was with him, but he would just be given a cookie and he would eat it. Now, I said, one, my wife would never, and I would agree with her, ever let one of my children eat an unwrapped Oreo, especially from a dry cleaner, her present or not. But have you ever, do you have anything close to this encounter? Because apparently also in that same town, Alex G got fudgesicles from the restaurant in town on the second floor. So how Alex G is alive is
it's not
me.
Just me. That was everyone. Everyone got fudgesicles from Dino.
Well, and then the follow-up to that, Jason, is I'm playing basketball this morning and someone comes up to me and says, hey, I was listening to the show yesterday. I'm from Plymouth. I've never heard of anyone giving out Oreos at a dry cleaner. So... if you had a choice, would you rather do a polar plunge, this is one of our poll questions, or eat a loose Oreo?
All right, so first of all, Paula grew up in Sheboygan, and I know there's some weird stuff that goes on in that Plymouth, Kohler, Sheboygan region.
Don't forget Falls. Sheboygan Falls, weird.
That said, no, but remember, too, like, once upon a time, now, again, Alex is young. We are both old.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, there was a time where you would go to a bar, and there were, like, bowls of, like, loose, like, bar mix
or
beer nuts.
Pretzels,
or whatever
peanuts,
else.
Yeah.
You just put your meat hook right in there and gobble it up.
Yeah.
And the girls, you know, you're on speaker, so Paul and the girls are grossed out right now because they are... total germaphobes. I, on the other hand, my parents were such hacks at parenting that, first of all, I never got to stay home from school no matter how sick I was.
Same.
Like,
bad.
I could have vomited in the morning and it was, you're still going to school today.
I have to fight that urge today, Jason. My daughter stayed home and in my head, I still want to do my dad sort of like, you can go to school. My wife's like, you didn't like it when you were a kid. She's staying home. So I was same upbringing there. Yes.
Yeah, and I overcorrected, like, again, and this is not a humble brag, a straight A student, and I actually tell the girls, it's okay if you get a B, I want you to get a B, so it's a whole different realm in our house now, but I have such a, and Paula says this, every time I do get sick, then I have to hear about it, but I have such a strong immune system. Because I was exposed to so many illnesses as a kid, and cigarette smoke.
Oh, man.
That I'm like, blind here.
You cut out a little bit there. I think we lost you. Maybe that was, I don't know, some interference there.
No, I'm still here. I wasn't sure if you heard me say that I'm a borderline superhero. So,
oh, there you go. Perfect.
The bottom line is, I am not afraid. I will eat that whole jar of Oreos, quite frankly.
Let's go, Jason.
All right.
That's
well,
my guy.
Next time you're in town, we'll have to have a loose Oreo eat-off.
But here's the thing. I used to go to Clinky Cleaners because I wore so many dress shirts back when I was actually, like, you know, trying to impress girls and stuff. And then I married Paula, and I just wore hoodies and shorts all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know the last time I've been in a dry cleaner. So do I get free dry cleaning if I eat the whole jar? Like, what's the deal?
I don't know. I haven't been a dry cleaner in a long time. we'll have to find that out. Maybe we'll give the folks at Clinky a call. Maybe they have some sort of promotion where you eat a jar. It's like, give Jason Wilde a cookie, and he'll, how's that called? The give a mouse a
feed
cookie.
Give
a mouse a cookie, and he'll ask for something the next time. So, Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
All right. That's Jason Wilde. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
Do they still give out Oreos at dry cleaners?
What?
Huh? Is that not a thing?
That's never a thing.
No.
Hey, this is Matt's Chicago doppelganger. You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN Madison.